Hey, this is Eddie Green, and welcome to Selling People, Not a Process. This is going to be part three of Undercover Superhero, and you're going to have to forgive me. A little under the weather. Voice is not what it typically is, but you know, we're going to get through it. I promised you guys an episode last night and just didn't get it done. Life has kept me incredibly busy. And, you know, between work and band and travel and all that kind of stuff, it keeps you hopping. So, but no excuses. I made you a promise that I would get this episode out, and I'm gonna fight through it, and we're going to get it done. So as we have talked in the last two episodes, it's really about, you know, unbuttoning your shirt and having that big S on your chest. As a salesperson, we're going to be a little more process driven today, which is really going to be where most superheroes' kryptonite lies. I know that this podcast is called Selling People, Not a Process, but there is a process that's involved in sales. There's always going to be. It's how transparent is it? It's how conversational is it? How seamless it is to the potential client. Today, I want to focus on presentation. We've talked a little bit in the past about the power of silence. You know, that you go in and you ask an open-ended question and you shut up. So today, we're going to expand a little bit about that. And we're going to hopefully change the way you think about how you're going to present. So you're going to get in front of that center of influence finally. And as we discussed in previous episodes, this is where most people blow it because they finally get so excited about being in front of the center of influence. They go in and they show up and they throw up. And I want you to completely change your way of thinking when it comes to presentation. Your presentation mantra should be, I'm going to say as little as humanly possible, incite enough intimate conversation that the customer literally is going to give you all of the ammunition you need to close themselves. So stop and think about that for a second. You've got a company that you believe in wholeheartedly, a product or service that you believe in with all of your heart, and you're so proud of it, and you believe that it's the best, you want to tell them everything there is about it. And what ends up happening in that situation is it's like throwing darts at a map. Because your agenda is more important than discovering what their needs are, you continue to throw things at them and bombard them with things and hope that you hit a hot button that they say, oh yeah, I want to buy that, or I want to utilize that service, or I want to create that relationship. In this day and age of sales, occasionally you're going to have some success doing that, but it's the difference between being just a salesperson and an ultra-high performer. And an ultra-high performer, it's not just about the commission, and it's not just about the recognition. It is about the superhero factor. Because they put their customers first. They put their needs first. They set aside their own agendas and make it all about them. So a lot of this can be accomplished in the pre-call planning before you even go in. You're doing your research. You have so many tools at your disposal now to be able to find out anything and everything that you need to know to be able to incite intimate conversation with a customer. And let's face it, that's realistically what needs to happen. It needs to be intimate conversation to where they're divulging details that are beyond surface level. So let's take that for example. So you've done your pre-call planning. You know they've been in business for a long time. You know leadership has been there for a long time. They've had successes. They've had failures. They've survived recessions. They've survived hostile takeovers. They've grown. They've had substantial and proven growth within the industry. So you know all of these things going in. And then you walk into the Center of Influence's office and make sure first and foremost, that it is the actual center of influence. And let's, this is kind of a rabbit trail, but stay with me. We're going to come all the way back to what we were talking about. So many people spend the wrong time, wrong amount of time presenting to people that really aren't the decision makers. They don't want to tell you that they're not. Everybody wants to think that they're the person in charge. But like, let's take disaster restoration, for instance. Maybe it's a hotel and you're sitting in front of the general manager. Do you know if that's a locally, regionally, or nationally owned hotel? If it's regionally or nationally owned, chances are the GM can make decisions up to a certain point. But you're spilling your guts and presenting like this person is capable of signing a $1 million check or approving a $1 million loss. So that ultimately would be one of your questions in your discovery process. You know, I understand that you are the center of influence at this location, but are you the person that would sign a $1 million check? So many salespeople don't have the wherewithal to get into the difficult discussions, the difficult questions in the discovery process to ensure that the relationship is going to be theirs. Sometimes it involves what we would consider uncomfortable discussions. But as you walk into the center, and let's come all the way back, and you walk into the center of influence's office, you've done all your research, you have your plan in place, but also to notice all of the nonverbal things. Maybe pictures of family, maybe the university that they attended, hobbies, you know, anything that you can pick up on that's going to get them past fight or flight. Because you're trying to go from stranger to trusted strategic advisor in a matter of minutes. So they're either going to fight you, which means that they're going to do everything that they can to not commit, or they're going to try to flight, which is, you know, I've got a meeting coming up, or I've got this. So maybe they do. Be very cognizant and respectful of their time, but understand going in and welcome that and be prepared for it, that fight or flight is going to be the first thing that's going to happen in that meeting. So let's take the presentation. Most people go in and say something to the effect of, this is what my company can do for you. This is what the products or services that I represent can do for you. And then they give them a laundry list of things. Well, short-term memory tells you, and you can think of it in a phone number capacity, you really are only going to remember, you know, about 7 to 10 things from that conversation. And that's if it's a memorable conversation. You know, if you're busy playing 20 questions, you're busy talking at them and not with them, then chances are they're not going to remember much at all. You're not going to be memorable. So how do you beat that? What do you do? Well, it's a simple twitch, basically. It's just something that you're going to flip. Instead of saying, this is what my company can do for you, why not say, what would you want out of a relationship with a company like mine? And then exercise your right of silence. Because now it gets to the point of whoever speaks next loses. So trust your silence. Sit back, cross your leg, fold your hands over your lap, intimate gaze, and listen. Just listen. When they tell you, and we'll continue down the road of disaster restoration, and if you want me to expand on products or services that are in your environment, by all means, send me a note, and I'd be more than happy to talk about your industry too. But when you listen, you may hear things like, well, we had a water loss issue back in 2012. And now you're taking notes because now you have ammunition. Instead of saying, my company's the biggest, the best, the fastest, you can ask a question of, do you currently have a relationship with a vendor like me? If they say yes, don't be discouraged. Value relationship. It's great that they have somebody in place. But there are ways to malign that organization without ever speaking a bad word about them. Questions like, can you tell me when that loss occurred? How do you feel that they treated you and your business? Were they at all concerned with your business continuity and ensuring that you could maintain operations? How long did it take them to dry you down? Were you satisfied with the results? Do you feel that the billing was fair? And lastly, the best question you can ask involving a competitor was if there was anything you could change about that situation looking back, what would it be? And let them malign the competition themselves, and you've never said a single bad thing, and you're gaining ammunition for the close. So your question should be open-ended. Your question should be about what would you need? What would you expect? What would it take for you to give me the next phone call? And if they are staunch on their relationship or their products or services that they have, take the humble approach and tell them, say, you know what, I respect that immensely. If they haven't dropped the ball, I would expect you to maintain loyalty with that organization, because I would expect the same if the relationship was with me. But you know what? They may or may not be able to get to you someday, and I'm okay being your number two phone call, and I'll be there when you do. And I promise you, I won't let you down. Be smart, hungry, and humble. But when you go in to present, you should operate on a 70-30 rule. You should do 70% listening, 30% talking. Your questions should be as such that it incites intimate, engaging dialogue to where the customer can relax and the walls come down because they're talking about themselves. They're talking about the successes and failures of their industry, the pride that they have in the job that they do and the organization that they work for. And just sit back and listen intently. Probably one of the biggest things that I notice amongst salespeople versus ultra-high performers is that a salesperson speaks to respond. They constantly have another bullet in the chamber. They're just waiting for that client or potential client to take a breath so they can fire something else at them. What happens if you take a step back and you listen because you actually care? What happens if the questions that you ask, you show genuine interest in? So I encourage you to role play these types of scenarios with your superiors, and if you're in leadership, to role play them with your team. You should have a list of top 10 to top 15 rebuttals, how those objections are handled, and questions that you get on a regular basis so that you're prepared, polished, professional, and personable when you go in to speak to a prospective client. And when you leave, it should, and you go for the close right before you leave, the close should be as such that it's almost ridiculous for them to tell you no based on the conversation that you just had. It takes a lot of work to be an ultra-high performer, but it's the little things that separate them from just your average everyday salesperson. It's that tenacity, but the execution of the minute details that mean the difference between watching somebody walk across the stage to accept an award or actually accepting the award. I can tell you, in the successes that I've had in the disaster restoration industry and being one of the top guys in the country doing so, my biggest reward, and the people ask me how I judge success, was never my commission check. It has never, ever been about the number of jobs that I sold or the monetary value of those jobs. I judge success by, would that client call me back after we did the first loss? Did they trust me enough did I do the job well enough that they would never consider using anyone else? And that's how I gauge my success. Guys, I encourage you, I challenge you to go out, as I always say, and make a difference in this world. Don't be a salesperson. Be a trusted strategic partner aligned with your clients, but be more interested in their business and their business continuity than your own agenda. And I promise you, you'll never want for anything, and people will only want to do business with you. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, additions, deletions, maybe you just want to gripe about it because you're sick of hearing me talk, email me at eddie@tierlevel.com. I will respond to each and every one. If you have topics that you would like to hear, please do the same because I'm here for you. If I don't hear from you, then I'm just some guy talking into a microphone. So I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to me, and we'll talk again soon.